Welcome to our final presentation for Chapter 1, in which we discuss a few odds and ends, some aspects of career planning, and then the most important financial decision you will ever make in this lifetime. But let's get started on slide number 4 with financial aspects of career planning. We often make a distinction between a job or a career. And to me, this sounds a little elitist because in my book, every job is a good job. You're producing, you're working, you're furthering the goods and services of our country. And I know it sounds like an advertisement, my apologies, but it's true. It's true. You're producing, you're contributing to the society. But I do remember, and I can't remember which counselor it was, the counselor said, look, a job is something you do for a paycheck. A career is something you do regardless of the paycheck. Now, I like that. I like that because that's how I feel. I feel as though I am doing it whether or not they pay me. Shh, don't tell them that, okay? I love teaching, so I'm the luckiest guy I've told you in the world. But as we said, the job is the employment position obtained mainly to earn money without regard for interest or opportunities for advancement, whereas a career is a commitment to a profession that requires continued training and offers a clear path for occupational growth. It's quite humorous sometimes at Southwestern. In academia, we have professional development. We're supposed to be, you know, sharpening the saw. But all of us are already perfect. We don't really need any professional development because how can you improve upon perfection? It's irony, folks, satire. We're not perfect, obviously. But is it true that income does relate to education in general, but not always, folks? But the higher the education level in general, the higher the annual income and lifetime income. And notice that once you move from a high school to an associate's degree, that's a pretty big jump. But then the associate's to bachelor's seems to be the biggest jump. Then the master's degree, the doctorate, and professional degrees, they're obviously more, but they don't jump as high. So an associate's degree is a great place to start, with the idea of getting the bachelor's degree, and then the others are just gravy on top of the pasta there. So if that's right, gravy on top of the mashed potatoes. But where are the jobs going to be? Well, in general, they're going to be in service. Now, it doesn't mean there aren't any manufacturing jobs. There are just fewer and farther between. There are just not as many because of automation. And there's a joke. The factory of the future will have two employees, a person and a dog. And the person's job will be to feed the dog, and the dog's job will be to keep people from touching the machinery. And it's a bit of a joke, but it's real. There are factories where no human hands touch the product. Have you ever heard of Shimano? Maybe. When people who know about them say, oh, you're talking about the bike company? They don't make bikes. They make bike parts. And they also make fishing equipment, if you can believe that. They are one of the most technically advanced companies in the world, manufacturing companies. No human hands touch the product from start to finish. Pretty amazing. So service is the future for most people. And you'll see these computer technology, healthcare, business services, social services, sales and retailing, hospitality, management, human resources, education. There's a dearth of teachers. I can't understand why, because we're not paid enough to live in this wretched city. and then finally, financial services. Folks, I said it before, I'll say it again before the semester is over. The industry needs you. We need more women, more minorities, bilingual, veterans. The industry needs professionals, because there's a whole lot of us old folks ready to retire or die. So think about it. But the area that excites me the most is biotechnology. The biotechnology world is going to do things that we can't even imagine now. It's going to make what the computer industry did look tame, in my humble opinion. Now we'll see, right? You have cancer? Here, eat these strawberries, right? You want to change your hair color? Right, who knows? You don't like, well, that's the scary part. Who knows what the side effects are. One of the things, the side effects of taking the anabolic steroids, you know, guys like to beef up and look real buffed, is that it destroys your hypothalamus, which controls your sex drive. So you might look good to the opposite sex, but you don't care anymore. And that was actually a joke in the Little Abner, which is a long forgotten musical, long forgotten comic strip. But that was the joke in the movie, in the musical. They found this drug that made men look beautiful, but they weren't interested in the women anymore. And there it is, a joke becoming real life. But I digress. My apologies. Biotechnology. And luckily here at Southwestern Community College, we have a biotechnology program because there's lots of biotech here in San Diego. So think about it. But I'd rather financial services, folks. That's just because of me. But what do you want to be if you grow up? What is your career goal? Many people believe that you must become a doctor or a lawyer or a high-priced, high-powered executive to become wealthy. But what if you want to be a writer or a teacher or an artist or a janitor, a mechanic or a plumber? Can you become wealthy while doing what you love, even if it does not command a large salary? And as we saw in the previous presentation, yes. The key is to set a goal for yourself. Start early. And I don't know about you folks, but mechanics and plumbers and other tradesmen, tradeswomen, they're doing all right, in my humble opinion. And there's a little story about the brain surgeon who moved to a new town to be at this university hospital, and she was going to have a Saturday night dinner party for the muckety mucks at the hospital. And Saturday afternoon, the downstairs bathroom toilet overflowed. Oh boy, what a mess. She calls out the 24-hour emergency plumber, who runs right out, and in not even 5 minutes, he fixes it, and everything's fine, and she's so thankful. Oh, thank you so much. You don't know how much you helped me. You saved me. And the guy hands her a bill for $500. And she says, well, excuse me, sir. I don't mean to sound ungrateful, but I'm a brain surgeon. I don't even make $500 in 5 minutes. And the plumber said, yeah, I know how it is. Neither did I when I was a brain surgeon. Yeah. Anyway, many people believe that your career is the most important financial decision you'll make in your life. And it is very, very important. But it turns out it's not the most important decision. But if your career is not the most important decision, what is? Who you marry. And then subsequently divorce. Folks, marriage is grand. Divorce is more like 100 grand. Yeah, it's funny, right? No, it's not. In the face-to-face class, we usually have at least one person who can say, oh yeah, he took me or she took me to the cleaners. I'm still cleaning up after that mess. And so, my apologies. So think about it, folks. Marriage is the most important financial decision. It's the most important decision that you're going to make in your lifetime. And I'm not sure if it's really true or not, but supposedly Socrates, you know, 2,500 years ago, said that you only have one decision to make in this lifetime, to marry or not to marry, and you'll regret either choice. I don't know if that's really true, but it's kind of funny. Okay, what's the march of civilization? What is this, Piana? What are you talking about here? Well, we are moving from the industrial age, as it's sometimes called, to the information age. Whoops, that was a mistake. What happened here? What happened? It disappeared. We're moving from the industrial age to the information age. We started out as hunters and gatherers for hundreds of thousands of years, and mostly ate a plant-based diet. When we could scrounge up some meat, we did. But about 10,000 years ago, some later, some earlier, depending, several places around the world, Mesopotamia, China, Central America, we started to settle down, climate change and the like, and first became simple agrarian farmers, and then advanced agrarian. So simple, the little huts and the villages, and then the advanced agrarian, Egypt and Greece and Rome and the Mayan and the Chinese civilizations. About 200 some odd years ago, we moved from advanced agrarian into in the industrial age. And we have just, the technology has just been unbelievable that has raised our level of livelihood, our standard of living, to just a point that people 200 years ago just could not even imagine. And we're going through that same shift again in the information age, computer age, digital age, whatever you want to call it. Now, how many hours a week did the agrarians work? Well, it turns out they worked about 60 to 80 hours a week. Now, more in the summertime, spring and fall, and a whole lot less in the wintertime. But still, it was a hard life. 10, 12-hour days, 6 days a week. Yeah. The industrial age was an incredible revolution in that eventually we went to 40 hours per week. That was Henry Ford having people only work for 8 hours a day. It was a revolution. It was unheard of. Some people work a lot more. Some people work less. But what we expect, this is something that they predicted decades ago, that when automation becomes ubiquitous, which is a fancy word of everywhere, all around us, we should move to about 25 to 28 hours a week. And there's already some rumblings about this, although I don't know if it's ever going to happen. The interesting part is how many hours a week did the hunters and gatherers work? About 25 to 28 hours a week. But that was a much more precarious livelihood, right? You didn't know if you were going to be around in a few weeks if all of a sudden you couldn't find food to eat. So is it really a march of civilization? I don't know. Now, are you worried about China? Are you worried about the rest of the world taking over us? Are you, folks? Well, I hope that you don't. Because as we speak, our agents are fanning out across the globe, and we will bring them to their knees. And who are we talking about? McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Rat. I'm sorry, Kentucky Fried Chicken in Marlboro. Yes, the standard American diet is killing us, and we're exporting it all around the world. Diabetes now has anywhere from 200 to 300 million people around the world have diabetes, and they don't even know it. So, hey, we're going to get our pound of flesh, and then we'll sell them the diabetes drug, too. There's a wonderful website called nutritionfacts.org where the Dr. Michael Greger excoriates the standard American diet, and we'll come back to this when we get to health insurance back in chapter 9. But that's our secret weapon. It's a joke. But it really isn't a joke, folks. We buy lots of goods and services from, well, mostly goods from China, and we send them Marlboro cigarettes. Okay, fine. And speaking of China, this guy figured it out, you know, whatever, 2,500 years ago. Choose a job you love and you will never have to work a day in your life. And that's me. I tell you, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I get to torture students and they pay me to do it. I mean, I'd do it for nothing. Shh, don't tell the administration that. So you, think about what you want to be if you grow up. Think about the things that bring you joy and make you feel as though you're alive. And then see if you can make money doing them. What do you want to be if you grow up? And who will you marry? Now, that's chapter one. Go back over, make sure you understand the terms, the concepts. Make sure you can do those calculations in the worksheets. Remember, we're not doing simple interest in this chapter. That's chapter five. We're doing compound interest. We need to use the future value tables. And then think about what goals you want, financial goals, non-financial goals. Look at the rubric carefully, listen to the commentary, and you're going to come up with three short-term goals, two or three intermediate, long-term. So it doesn't matter, mix and match. You can do all three long-term, all three intermediate, but we want you to do some short, we definitely want you to do some short-term goals because short-term goals are very useful in that they help us build confidence. And then one non-financial goal. So go through the assignment and listen to the commentary. Are you excited? I hope so. All of us at Southwestern are incredibly proud and happy that you're here, and we wish you the best of success in the future. We want you to be awesome. Now, in our next chapter, we're going to create the two most important financial documents for personal financial planning, the cash flow statement and the net worth statement. So see you in chapter two on money management skills, financial statements, and budgeting.